afternoon. Welcome along to Premier League Live on location. I'm Rebecca Lowe. We're kicking off the new campaign all together here in the UK for the weekend. So as always, the NBC rotation system comes into play with me in the studio, Graham Lasseau and Robbie Musto. Up on the gantry is our Premier League insider, Neil Ashton. But it's to Pitchside where we send you first. So it is over to Robbie Earle, Lee Dixon, Kyle Martino and first Arlo White. And Arlo, we'll get to all 20 clubs in a moment during our season preview, but we have to start with the story of the day.
Yes, we do. And it's not whether we all get Oscars for our performance in the opening there come Oscar time next year. It's about, of course, Philippe Coutinho and a story that has developed all day today. And it's been fast-paced and fast-moving. The Fenway Sports Group saying definitively not for sale. Jurgen Klopp saying he's out for the next two games with a back problem. And then reports that he's emailed in a transfer request today. Robbie Earle, it's a bit of a mess. They travel to Watford tomorrow. What's your read of the situation?
First of all, Ola, the timing of this thing on the eve of a season, an important season for Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, Champions League, Premier League titles to go for. And then I talk about the ambitions of this football club, Arlo. Do they really want to be in with the top team? Do they want to win a title again? Because if they do, you've got to keep your best player, and that means Philippe Coutinho. But I just get a sense, with the way things are going, and you talk about this reported emails, sort of transfer request from Coutinho, I think he's on his way.
Kyle, do you sense a race to the Nou Camp for a couple of players around Europe at the moment?
I mean, that's the thing, is Barcelona have that Neymar money burning a hole in their pocket, and Dembele at Borussia Dortmund, they're taking their chances with him. I mean, they're almost like Barcelona at this point, a lottery winner deciding between two yachts, and they're bouncing back and forth between Dembele and Coutinho. And if they can get Dembele, I think that mitigates some of their issues, and Liverpool will like that one because they can't possibly sell Coutinho at this point.
I think it's a game now, Arlo. I think that the club are playing the game by saying he's not going anywhere. That pushes the price up. Barcelona want to buy the player. The player is now saying, I want to go, put in transfer requests. It's all a game, and it's all about maximising your ability as a player, and also from the club's point of view, I don't think they can keep hold of him now because he's in that position now. Barcelona are calling. I think he will go. He's got to stay. He's gone.
This will run and run. There's still 3 weeks left of the transfer window as well, isn't there? Rebecca, we've got lots more to come as we build up to the Premier League season and Arsenal, Leicester here tonight at the Emirates. But for now, we'll send it back up to the studio and yourself.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. We're going to continue the Philippe Coutinho conversation. What will the end result be for you, Graham, in this?
Well, I think when a player hands in a transfer request, that is pretty much the ultimatum. I think it says quite often, certainly, you know, historically, when clubs are negotiating, and it will be reluctantly if Liverpool do sell him, of course it will be, but I think when Barcelona comes knocking and they offer the sort of money they're prepared to offer for Coutinho, he then hands in a transfer request. I think if they do let him go, Liverpool, it means that they can say, look, it wasn't our fault, we tried to keep him, he handed in a transfer request and therefore we had to let him go. The problem Coutinho's got is now he's played his last card. So it's whether or not Klopp will hold out and the club will hold out, or he'll get what he wants, which is a move to the best club in the world.
It's changed now because the ownership, FSG, made a very definitive statement. He is not going anywhere. He's not for sale at any price. Klopp's done the same thing. So now it goes, they've almost battered away Barcelona, and now the players play on the emotional card. Listen, you've got to let me go. You know, I want to further my career, etc., etc., etc. They haven't got to do it. For me, still say to him, you know what? We appreciate your desires. Well, we want to have a run at the title. We want to keep you here. And it, but then becomes whether he's going to be a player that's going to rock the boat, force a move. Or is he going to be somebody, Graham? And I think he would be. You know what? Yeah, he's going to be fed up after the first few weeks, but he'll get on with his job and do have a good season for Liverpool. I think he stays.
I think if somebody says to him, you're going to be the next Neymar if you come to Barcelona, that's a big, big head turner.
Yeah, if we hear anything more on this story, of course, we will bring it to you. But for now, let's go back to the gantry up above us here at the Emirates Stadium. Our Premier League insider, Neil Ashton, is waiting patiently to talk to us about this summer's new rule change. Neil, talk us through it because it's an interesting one.
It certainly is. Hi, Rebecca. It's great to be back. It's all in here. It's all in the media essentials, which has been handed out to the media by the FA, but it's also crucially been handed out to every single player playing in the Premier League. Now, this relates to the successful deception of a match official through simulation, exaggeration or feigning injury. So this comes into effect this season. I think you'd say in old money, in English, this is diving or this is cheating. This is where a player has successfully done it during a game when a match official hasn't caught him, but the FA later look at this incident and decide to put it through their three-man independent panel, which is an ex-professional footballer, ex-referee, ex-manager, and they have to jointly decide, but independently, whether or not they believe that a player has tried to deceive a referee to win a penalty or to get an opponent sent off. And if all three of those players, manager, ex-referee, officials are in agreement, then that player faces a two-match automatic suspension. That rule coming into force this season. I think everybody's just getting a little bit fed up last season, Rebecca, of one or two players just getting a little bit of a name for themselves, creating a little bit of a reputation, creating a stir. And of course, the media seizing on it. The FA have decided to do something about it. I just wonder who's going to be the first. But that comes into effect this evening, this game between Arsenal and Leicester City. And we'll see when the first player comes into action, the two-match suspension waiting for the first diver of the season, Rebecca.
Yeah, that'll be fascinating to watch that develop. More from Neil Ashton throughout the show. We will have a build-up to Arsenal against Leicester to come, and as soon as the team news arrives, by the way, we'll bring that to you. But now it's the season preview. We're going to touch on all 20 clubs in the order in which they finished in the Premier League last season. We do have a clock, gentlemen, and Robbie Musto's dreaded whistle, which means when the whistle goes, you've got to stop talking. We're going to power on through, starting with the champions, Chelsea, talking about the big story at Stamford Bridge this season, the striking situation. Diego Costa no longer going to play for the club. He's not even training at the club. In has come Alvaro Morata, younger. Same number of league appearances over the last three seasons. Fewer goals for the new man, but more trophies overall. First of all, on Costa, Graham Lasso, how do you feel it's been handled considering Antonio Conte sent him a text message in June saying you're not going to be wanted back?
Well, I think you have to go back to Christmas, to the January transfer window, where Costa agitated for a move then, and Conte and the players handled that situation brilliantly. They kept him on board. He ended up being 20 goals in the season and making a massive contribution to Chelsea winning the league. I think the situation, get to the end of the season, Conte would have been infuriated that somebody tried to step out of that group. The team is everything, and I think he couldn't wait just to be cold, callous, and get rid of him and just cut him out of that team. And that's what he's done.
In Alvaro Morata, Robbie, how convinced are you they've got a good replacement?
I'm not convinced, and I think that that Chelsea's season depends on it. I mean, even when you see them there, Costa's ugly and horrible, and Morata's kind of pretty and a nice kind of guy, apparently. So
he says nice things about you too.
Yeah, I worry, Rebecca, that he's not aggressive enough, athletic enough, and durable enough for this really intense Premier League, and we've seen a little bit.
Oh. Yeah, as always, you get cut off by the whistle. This could be a running theme, I warn you. At least they have got a new player, though. Unlike, I'm afraid, Tottenham fans, look at this graphic. At the top, you've got City spending nearly $300 million so far this summer. Then you've got the other top six clubs, and down at the bottom there, Tottenham with no money spent. If you're a Spurs fan, Graham, you're worried, aren't you? And you're a bit angry.
Well, the thing is, Spurs, I think, have been fantastic over the last two seasons. They've got a good squad. They're young. There's sort of a lot of homegrown players. So I think what they've been building has been absolutely fantastic. And I don't necessarily think they needed to buy many new players. Obviously, Walker going is disappointing. The biggest thing for me is that whole spirit of that team is built on togetherness and growing together. And what Danny Rose has done in the last few days, he is in jeopardy of destroying all of that. And that's far more damaging to Spurs than I think any transfer.
Danny Rose has basically agitated to leave in an interview. Yeah. Today, he has apologised for those words amongst many. He said he wants to get what he is worth. Your thoughts?
It's out there now. And the biggest shame would be if Spurs, after doing this great progression, this brilliant project with these young players, starts to unravel. Players start to want to leave because they probably could earn more money at other clubs. In terms of signing players, I think they should sign players. They're on a roll right now. They've had two brilliant seasons. More players just to add in to keep it rolling on. It's going to come down to Daniel Levy again with the finances, with money. He's got to keep the best players happy with cash.
OK, you got better there. You almost made it. Third place, Manchester City last season. They're ins and outs. They've been very busy. In has come the likes of Kyle Walker, Benjamin Mendy, Bernardo Silva. Big money paid out and early as well. Gone are some big names. Kelechi Iheanacho, Joe Hart out on loan to West Ham and some other big names released as well. Robbie, I'm going to come to you first because it's only fair. They've done their business early. Yeah. Have you been impressed?
Yeah, really impressed. I mean, they spent incredible amounts of money. So much money you wouldn't believe for fullbacks, but that's what they needed. And in Benjamin Mendy down the left-hand side with Kyle Walker's pace on the right-hand side and a fit Vincent Kompany that maybe is the most important part of their defensive unit, they are much better defensively. And as we know, amazing attacking options there with the ability of Jesus and Aguero to play together in different systems, and the most creative squad of players in the league, bar none.
Graham?
I just think they went big, they went early, they identified their targets and they got them with no nonsense, and they spent a huge amount of money. They've got a new goalkeeper as well, $45 million on Ederson. He's going to be important to them. As we saw last season, Guardiola wasn't happy with his goalkeepers and he likes to play out from the back. And I think if they can get that consistency in the back line, as Robbie says, they've got incredible creativity. They go down for me as one of the big favourites, if not the favourite this season.
They've got to learn, I think, at times to grind through games, whether it's a 45 minutes, Graham, or a 15-minute period where they're under the cosh. Just manage games a little bit differently.
And you've got to learn to talk to the whistle.
That was perfect. That was great.
OK, we're going to need a little break after that. It's so fast moving. We're going to take you down pitch side, just over my shoulder, down to the left, and speak to the chaps. And Arlo, you're going to carry on with our little run through the league and start with Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. Gentlemen, a bit of musty time there.
Just keep going for an
extra 4 or 5 seconds on each one. Let's get into Liverpool then. 20 days remaining, as we've said, in the transfer window. So Salah came in early. Solanke from Chelsea, Robertson are all in. Will that out column contain the name of Coutinho? And Lee, we touched on it at the start of the show. Will that define Liverpool's season, even at this early stage?
Well, it depends who they get in. If he does go in his replacement, and that's a difficult bit. They've got to spend the money. That prices will be inflated. I think it is about Coutinho. I'm not sure about Liverpool defensively. I know Kyle really likes them. They've progressed under Klopp. I think they will progress again. If Coutinho leaves, that makes all the difference. The signings that have come in won't make as big a difference as him leaving.
There's no marquee signing so far, Robin. They wanted to get Van Dijk in early. And they made a bit of a mess of that one as well. So where do you see them?
I just see them, although look at depth. I think 13, 14 players, yeah, don't think they have the quality below that. Other thing I think about with Liverpool, have they got the personality, the drive? As Robbie must have said about Man City, winning some ugly games and making it done. The other thing that worries me with Liverpool, and with that situation again, injuries. There's always seems to be key injuries to key players that holds them back.
Coutinho's the difference between a title race and a top four race, and that means he's priceless.
Brilliantly done, Carl. You've done this before, haven't you? Fantastic.
Must
just
that's
before
how you do
the
it.
Whistle. Let's move on to Arsenal. We're at their home here, the Emirates. Arsene Wenger claimed in the summer, having players in the final year of contracts, is ideal. Well, this is an ideal situation then, isn't it? With 7 players in the final year of their contracts. Where do you see Arsenal? The soap opera ended. Arsene's here for 2 more years. Where do you see them this season?
I just wonder which Arsenal we're going to see. We're going to see the one at Wembley in the FA Cup against Chelsea that looked the best team in the league. Are we going to see the one we see in January and February that just disappoints at the most crucial moments? Now, Kolasinac, I mean, this guy is a beast. He's going to be like running towards the goal like the ultimate warrior towards the stage. And you look at Lacazette is the goal scorer they've been longing for a while. So can they just exercise those demons and finally become the team that they're capable of being?
Lee, are you buying that they're over the worst last season?
Well, time will tell. And Lacazette has scored goals. Can he score goals in the Premier League? Still, we don't know that. We'll find out in a few weeks' time. Is Arsene Wenger settled down? He's changed the staff at the back of behind the scenes. Is that going to make a difference? We know that. But I still think there's a lot of questions to be asked. I'm very optimistic because I always am.
5, 4, 3. In Arsene, we trust. Confusion gone, titles are coming back.
Beautifully done, Earl. Let's move it on to Manchester United. Wayne Rooney, his 13-year stint at Old Trafford ended. Romelu Lukaku could cost $116 million in the end. Matic, great for United, potentially a head-scratcher for Chelsea fans. Lee, are they genuine title contenders this year?
There's no doubt about that they are. Lukaku will get goals, he'll get chances and he'll get goals. Can he be that man we all expect him to be for 75 odd million. Matic for me is a signing of a genius manager. I think the fact that he's brought him in front of the back four will make all the difference to United. I still think they'll get picked by City though.
Kyle?
I think that I'm just not as optimistic as Lee in terms of last year they were 24 points off of Chelsea, and don't tell me it was the Europa League. They only focused on that when they were miles out of the title race and were struggling for the top four. Can they gain that much ground while everyone else is getting stronger is my big question.
Matic is so important. He solves the problem. Back four will be better for him in front of him. Pogba now can go and influence the game where he wants to. They've got a 20-goal scorer in Romelu Lukaku. Zlatan might still be part of the equation. They're talking they might offer him a contract second half of the season. And here's my point. Jose Mourinho has had worse squads than this Manchester United squad and won major silverware.
Yeah, but not right in Champions, race. Yes or no? Champions, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, you got it.
Does that count? Anybody else in?
You're going to have to. You have to save it for another time. Look behind us here at the Emirates. We're just less than 90 minutes away from kickoff of the 2017-18 Premier League season. Jamie Vardy and the fairy tale Foxes of two seasons ago are out on the field preparing. Stay with us for more Striker Talk.
Wake up every morning and have a cup of tea. Marmalade on toast for breakfast. It's the life for me.
The kids will wake me up about 7 o'clock, so I'll try and hide from them for as long as possible.
I always like to have a bowl of porridge.
For me, it's very difficult to eat.
We go to the training ground around 11 a.m.
I have a bit of tension.
We'll obviously have a pre-match meal together, so we do everything as a team, really.
Treat it as the same as any other day, so that the pressure and doesn't come too early.
It used to be just turn up at 1:30 on a Saturday for the game at 3 o'clock, but now it's a lot more professional.
If I'm watching on television, my morning routine is walk the dog. Walk the dog, calm down.
I like to watch them on my own, actually.
Get myself into my favourite chair and block out all distractions.
Sometimes when I stay with my daughter, or with my wife, they don't like to watch football with me.
If it's a big game, I'll get the lads around and we'll make a day of it, you know. And the sisters will do some lunch as well, so it's usually the routine.
That was a lot of fun, the Premier League season launch on Wednesday in London. Well, tomorrow we'll be spending our morning in Brighton. We're live from the Amex all day. The day starts with Watford-Liverpool at 7:30 Eastern. That's on NBCSN. Then at 10, the champions Chelsea host Burnley, while Stoke visit Everton on CNBC. And at 12:30 on NBC, Brighton host their first ever Premier League match. This should be terrific. They're taking on Manchester City. But for now, back to our preview. We continue with our season preview and Everton, who've had quite a summer. Look at the ins and outs. Very, very busy indeed. Steve Walsh getting it done, as he did at Leicester City as head of recruitment. Pickford and Keane, the pick of them. Lukaku, though, and his 25 goals are gone. Robbie, are they stranded, Everton, on 7th place island?
Well, a good start might tell us something different. £125 million spent very early on. A lot of players down the spine of the team. Young players who are going to bring youth and enthusiasm. They've lost Lukaku's goal. They've brought these players in. Talk that Gylfi Sigurdsson could go. Wayne Rooney might be inspired business. Everton have the ability to gatecrash that top six.
I think they signed really well. I like what Koeman's done. I think the goalkeeper's going to be an excellent goalkeeper. Slightly different playing at a big club. No disrespect to his last club, but a big club, week in, week out, concentration more vital than saving the ball, because he's going to have less shots to save. I think Klaassen, I think if Dennis Bergkamp says you should go and play in the Premier League, then and he's a fan of him, then I'm a fan of Klaassen.
And Manchester United, Rooney had to give way for Robin van Persie, Cristiano Ronaldo, Van Nistelrooy. He wouldn't be able to be a number nine for them consistently. Maybe that happens for Everton. If he can do that, he still has goals in him.
Far too disciplined, that chaps. Left me a second at the end as well. By the way, how good does the Premier League trophy look alongside us with those Chelsea ribbons on it? Let's move on to Southampton. So who is new manager Maurizio Pellegrino? Well, he was Rafa Benitez's former assistant at Liverpool, at Inter Milan. He took Alaves, unfancied, to 9th in La Liga and a Copa del Rey final last season. We talk about teams going into the season with uncertainty in key players, and Virgil van Dijk is one of those. He's got a virus and he won't be playing for the time being. How do you see them faring, maybe with this cloud over them going into the season, Rob?
It's another season, Arlo. Another year we don't particularly know the manager. Another year we're talking about big stars leaving the football club. It was Mane and Wanyama last season. This time it's Virgil van Dijk. I'm going to have a new flag. Not only in Arsenal do we trust, in Les Reed we trust in terms of the players he brings in, the recruitment and the manager involved. They will have to have no problem, and I think they'll be comfortable mid-table.
Well, it's interesting because they've been hovering about that sort of space in the Premier League for a while. Can they take that extra step up this season?
Well, I'm just reading what Mr. Kruger, the chairman, said, that we don't have to sell anymore. We're now at a level where we can keep our players. We've been building for 3 or 4 years, letting players go. Now we've got youth coming through. Well, good luck keeping Van Dijk, because I think he's gone as well. So it's a big year for him. They've got a new manager, as you said. Can they keep that?
That
Mustel's up serious going, yes!
Watch this space for the end of that sentence. Let's stay on the South Coast and we'll go to Bournemouth. What a season they had last year. The best in their history. Ninth place. Bravo, Eddie Howe, and some good business done as well. Plenty of Premier League experience. Ake is back. Begovic, the goalkeeper. And Jermaine Defoe, potentially, Kyle, the signing of the summer, if it goes well.
I'm looking at Earl.
That's my boy right there.
How psyched are you?
Oh, man.
I mean, that's such a good signing at this point. Obviously, at his age, there's question marks, but he keeps getting the goals. And in this side, where there's support for him, you know, King, Wilson coming back from injury, they can rotate that position. But the biggest thing with them, forget those names, and there's some good names on that list, they kept Eddie Howe. That's just enormous. They were able to keep him on board.
I'm just going to say the best signing is Eddie Howe, because I think they got to ninth last year. I think what he's building there, the attention to detail with his players, I've heard about how he treats his players and how he wants the players to improve. Defoe, I can improve you as a player at the ripe old age he is. So I think Eddie Howe's a big signing for him.
One day Eddie Howe might be sitting in a seat not too far from us and in the home dugout. That's how good this guy's been. Simon Francis says this guy's attention to detail and his man management, working with every individual player, is something very, very special. And when players are saying that, you know you've got a good manager.
Lee, top half, yes or no for Bournemouth?
Oh!
That was me. I messed up the question. Well, there you go. Well, that's six more teams that we've got through there, Rebecca. We'll send it back up to you to continue the season preview.
Thank you very much, Arlo. And we're going to continue with the team that finished in 10th position alongside Graham Lasseur and Robbie Musto here, and that is West Bromwich Albion. They've been a very much middle-of-the-road team, mid-table team over the last seven seasons. But last season was their best finish, as you can see at the bottom of the screen there, in 10th for 4 years. So as we cross up to the gantry above me here at the Emirates Stadium and bring in our Premier League insider Neil Ashton once more, Neil, you would think, therefore, that everybody was happy at West Bromwich Albion and Tony Pulis today signing an extended deal. Am I right?
Yes, he did sign a new contract, but he's not happy with the number of signings that West Brom have made over the summer. And I think £12 million for Jay Rodriguez. He wants more than that, Rebecca. You mentioned that 10th place finish last season. He wants more players to make sure they finish in that 10th place in the upper reaches of the Premier League again this season. I don't think it helps when you lose one of your best players. Of course, Darren Fletcher moving to Stoke City at the start of the summer. But also when Tony Pulis discovers that the club's new owners, Guishan Lei from China, is worth about $4 million American dollars, Rebecca. So when you kind of hear those kind of sums, when you realise that your owner is of that kind of wealth, of that kind of means, that you expect some investment in the squad. And it just hasn't arrived, with the exception of Jay Rodriguez. And Tony Pulis, looking at his side, an ageing West Brom squad. I think you look at the central midfielder, Jakob, Chris Brunt at the back as well. Those players, they just want to start phasing them out and bringing in some young players. I think Tony Pulis, just beginning to get a little bit agitated. Sign that new contract, things can't be that bad. But he wants to see players in before the end of the transfer window.
OK, Neil, back with you shortly. Robbie Musto, my mission then is for you to try and give some positivity to West Brom fans out there.
Well, last season was positive. You know, we sat and talked about how they developed, and Matt Phillips had come into the club. Mm. Nasser Chadli from Spurs, and they were attacking more, scoring more goals. Keep it going. So I understand it. I agree with Neil, and I agree, I guess, with the manager that's frustrated, because the fans just starting to get a little bit of fun and entertainment at the Hawthorns. Now, like, there's a stand, you know, there's nothing going on. Now, there is time left, of course, to add players.
You feel that the club and the players need to be liberated a little bit more. A few more players going forwards. But they defensively, they're 4-5-1. But he doesn't do that. And they get to 40 points and they switch off. They're useless after they get to 40 points. They picked up 5 points in the last, I don't know how many games. But I think that he needs to show that he's prepared to be a bit more creative. He's got to have a real discussion with the owners and say, look, we need these specific players in order for me to play more progressive football. Because otherwise, they're a team of four centre-backs who rely on set pieces and only think about 40 points.
OK, but the season is starting and, that you say, they haven't spent much money. Talking about money and spending, West Ham United, interesting business they've done. Marko Arnautovic from Stoke up to $32.5 million in the end on loan Joe Hart, Javier Hernandez and Pablo Zabaleta. Chicharito, Javier Hernandez. That is an exciting signing. And in terms of how much he costs, $21 million, you have to say, Robbie, pound for pound, that's decent.
Really good. I mean, one of the teams has done the best business. And I think when you throw in Mikel Antonio, Mamo Lanzini to play in behind Javier Hernandez and Artovich from the left-hand side, it's pretty good. It's So the excuse is now gone for the manager. We had the new stadium last year, Graham, didn't we? And the Dimitri Payet situation was awful. And it kind of, you kind of felt for the manager a little bit. They're demanding owners. They've got a good squad of players. They've been back to the transfer market. Now is the time to deliver for West Ham United.
Yeah, and I think they've got the platform, as Robbie says, with the new stadium. They've got all of that sort of system built in there now. So they've got that consistency that they can, that they've learnt about their new environment. And as far as the shape of the team, I think they've got a very solid team. I like Cresswell. Always liked him as a left back. They've got a lot of creativity, some youth as well, and talent. And they balance that now with a lot of experience. And they could be a team that could do, you know, as we would expect them to have done a couple of years ago, do far better than they
did. If they don't start well, by the way, Slaven Bilic should be a man under pressure, because there was a period of time last year where he was under pressure.
OK. Leicester City, a couple of years ago, champions, of course. Last season, all went horribly wrong, so they fired Claudio Ranieri and brought in Craig Shakespeare on a temporary basis. He did really well, as these stats show you. And then in June, he was made permanent manager because he got them to 12th in the league. In your opinion, Graham, was that a good decision by the club?
Oh, absolutely it was, because what he did, the dressing room was in chaos by looks of things, and the results were appalling. They couldn't win away from home. And I think Shakespeare coming in, he knew the players well. He's been at the club a long time. And as soon as Ranieri was gone, the spirit of the club changed. They became more positive. And you saw that commitment from the players, the work rate, the effort. And they've got quality. They've won the league before. They've kept a core of that group that won the league. So they've got the potential there. I'm looking forward to seeing Ndidi this season, because obviously replacing Kante was going to be the hardest thing for them when he went to Chelsea. I think Ndidi started to show signs towards the end of last season that he was capable of developing into that role, Robbie.
And also, the fun times are over, Rebecca. League titles, Champions League campaigns, all that's gone now. So what's the real Leicester City? They've made good signings in Harry Maguire at the back. Vicente Ibora could play in midfield as well. So they've strengthened each line of the team. So I expect a good season for Leicester City. And I like Craig Shakespeare, and I'm pleased he's got the opportunity to continue with the job. And I think they'll finish easily top 10.
Robbie, you're improving with this whistle thing.
I'm dragging on a little bit.
I know you slowed down. And we're going to continue our season preview with Stoke City. The last four Premier League seasons, what a drop-off. Look at that, ninth, three seasons in a row. And then last season, they finished on just 44 points and in 13th position. My question, Graham Lasseur, about Stoke City is, what are they trying to be?
The question around identity is one I think that you do have to ask, because they were known as a very physical, robust, strong team. Mark Hughes was in his fifth season at Spurs, has tried to bring in quality over the last couple of seasons. Creative players, got them to get the ball down a little bit and play football through Shaqiri and Bojan, people like that. They've got rid of Arnautovic, they've got rid of Walters. They haven't made a huge amount of replacements. Fletcher's come in, Zouma's come in. I think they need to find a really strong sense of identity, who they are, and get playing decent football, get that run of consistency going.
But I think that they would say that they are trying to be more of a footballing side. Mm. And we have seen that. But it's gone a little bit stale for me. I mean, to Robbie, he'll call him sexy Stoke. It's more like stale Stoke. And when you sell one of your best players in Arnautovic, then I'm thinking, OK, who's going to be the main man?
Mm. Okay. Crikey. Well, no one knows, because we've got to finish. We've got to move on to Crystal Palace to talk about their new manager, Frank de Boer. Let's take a little look. If you don't know much about him, the playing career, we'll look at that, full of honours with Ajax and Barcelona and the national team as well in Holland. As a manager, 6 years at Ajax. Didn't last long at Inter, but Palace fans are excited. You may have noticed we've cut the time down to 45 seconds because we all talk too much. Your thoughts on Frank de Boer, please.
I like it. And I like Steve Parrish's optimism. I like his bravery to say, you know what, I want to take this club forward. I want to play a different style. I'm going to bring a manager in to do that. I think that the excitement will come a little bit. Pardew tried to do it, of course, and he failed in terms of the expansive football and the results. But I like it.
I'm actually a little bit worried, because I think it took Big Sam to come in and shake that place up to save Crystal Palace, to keep them in the Premier League last season. I think Frank de Boer, he plays, you know, he comes from a football pedigree, which is fantastic. He's going to have to get those players working for him very early on and understanding his philosophy. There's talk of him playing a back three. There's talk of him changing the style in which they play. And I think that that might be all right at some clubs. I don't know if it's right for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I said it's going to be a step-by-step thing.
Yeah, is there time for step-by-step? Mm. Oh, they had beautiful new suits for a beautiful new season, and now they're drenched. Arlo, back down to you guys.
But unfortunately, Lee's lost that pace over the opening 5 yards. He got absolutely doused. How many murals do you need of yourself outside this stadium?
I know the groundsman as well. He'd give me a little wink and then he just turned the tap.
Let's go to Swansea City then and see what they've got in store for us this season. The managerial merry-go-round last year, wasn't it? Guidlin out after 7 games. Bob Bradley, 11 games. He's now at LAFC. Paul Clement pulled off a miracle. Robbie Earle, do they need a miracle this season as well?
They do, but I thought they bought well in January, likes of Carroll, Olsen, Norsing, RU, helped them out and kept them in the league. They've got a good young manager in Paul Clements, who I believe in. I think he'll coax them out of trouble. I think Swansea's going to be OK. Sigurdsson might go there.
That's the thing, even without Sigurdsson.
Two words, Sigurdsson of egos, massive loss, but I agree with Robbie. Clement, he's the one. He had a great season ending. He got them out of relegation, and I think that will happen again this season.
They have a miracle. It's Sigurdsson. I mean, if you look at what he's done for their team since he's been there, he's responsible basically either scoring or assisting half of their goals. They absolutely can't afford to lose that guy.
Okay, let's head on to Burnley. And a team that narrowly avoided relegation, I suppose. But it was pretty comfortable in the end, let's be honest. What an achievement for Sean Dyche. 16th with 40 points. Incredible form at Turf Moor. But, and here's the worry, is the spine, has it gone with Keane and Barton and Gray, who were sold yesterday to potential relegation rivals Watford? How do you see Burnley going?
Well, they brought in Bardsley, they brought in Walters, and they brought in Jack Cork. They're not going to sell too many shirts off the back of those three. But Sean Dyche knows the kind of players, reliable, solid citizens. Again, won't be easy, but I think Burnley will have enough to stay in the league.
You used to play there. Yeah. Can they repeat that home form? Do they need to?
They need to, and I don't think they can without Keane and Gray. I think it's as simple as that. Yes, Sean Dyche, big fan of his, but I think they're in big trouble.
He's going to have to really get into these guys, isn't he, Carl? This is a very, very tough season ahead for Burnley.
I think they're in trouble. They didn't need experience. They need goals. They're the lowest scoring team that survived, and they just sold 9 goals. I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot for a team like Burnley. They need that to stay up. So if they don't replace him with someone that can score Premier League goals, trouble.
Beautifully done, Carl. Thank you very much indeed. Well, Sean Dyche is at Burnley. He was at Watford when the Pozzo family took over. He lasted not too long before he was given the flick. The Pozzo family, they've appointed 8 managers in 5 years since taking over the club. Marco Silva is the latest. He narrowly failed to keep Hull in the Premier League last season. Marco Silva, it was an interesting choice for him. He would have been courted by a lot of clubs, Lee, during the summer, and he chose Watford. What can he do there?
Well, he's done a massive thing and he's signed Gray. We've just talked about him leaving one club and he's signed goals, and I think he'll get the respect. The difficulty is 9 managers since 2012. Five years. Yeah. It's an astonishing turnaround of managers. I think that does unsettle players, I really do. But I think now Watford have got enough to stay up.
How long can they keep this going with the managerial merry-go-round?
I don't think you can keep on changing your manager and expect any long-term success. But to get Silva was brilliant. He's brought in the likes of Chalobah from Chelsea, Will Hughes from Derby, good young players who can play in midfield. But this is a club in 2017, Arlo, that was going backwards. They've got to change the way and the whole rhythm of the
since
football
club. Since they lost to Gallo, Deeney's needed a partner. He's got one now.
Yeah, I wonder if Watford have enough to stay up this season. So we're down to just the new boys to look out for in this Premier League preview show. Carl, we say goodbye to you. You're heading up to the Gantry. We'll call the game together. Arsenal against Leicester. Looking forward to that. Speaking of the new boys, Rafa's back, Chris Hughton's back, and a new boy at Huddersfield, David Wagner. Back with Rebecca next.
If you're just tuning in, welcome back to a brand new Premier League season. We're live in North London at the Emirates. Arsenal-Leicester kicking off in just under an hour. It'll be the first game of the new season. And I have literally just been told the team news is in. We haven't yet got it built for you because it's literally just come in. But I can tell you the key points are Mesut Ozil, despite having an injury in the last few weeks and not signing a new deal, he starts. Alexander Lacazette makes his Premier League debut. Sead Kolasinac as well at the back makes his Premier League debut. That's the key news for Arsenal. For Leicester, Riyad Mahrez starts despite wanting away. Jamie Vardy is in. A debut at the back for Harry Maguire. And big money signing Kelechi Iheanacho from last week. He starts on the bench for Leicester. That's the key team news. We'll bring you the full formations just as soon as we can. We're going to continue, though, with our season preview with the new boys. Newcastle United, they're new this season, but we know all about them, of course. Rafa Benitez is their manager. And what a career he's had, by the way, at the likes of Valencia, where he won 2 La Liga titles and the UEFA Cup, the Champions League with Liverpool, the Europa League with Chelsea. He really has done well wherever he has been. He's now at Newcastle United as we take you back up to the gantry here at the Emirates and bring our Premier League insider Neil Ashton back on the show. And you don't get the sense, though, Neil, that Rafa is a happy man.
He's definitely not a happy man, Rebecca, because you just mentioned his pedigree, those clubs that he's managed, Valencia, Inter Milan, Napoli, Real Madrid, Liverpool. When he's been able to spend big money, he's been able to build a team to fight for a title, to fight in Europe. He won't be able to do that at Newcastle United. And intriguingly today, Mike Ashley, the owner of Newcastle United, he just snapped. He just said, enough is enough. He never, ever gives media interviews, but he's done exactly that with Sky Sports today. And what he said is, I just don't have that kind of money. I can't compete with the Abu Dhabi group who own Manchester City. I can't write a cheque for £200 million sterling. I just haven't got those kind of deep pockets. He's a very fabulously wealthy man, Mike Ashley, but he's made it clear today he doesn't have the kind of money that he can compete at the very top, at the top of the table, at the Premier League table, with Chelsea, with Manchester United, with Manchester City. He doesn't have those resources. Rafa Benitez has got to sell players before he can bring players in. That's what the constraints of working at Newcastle United. I think Rafa Benitez, undoubtedly, having got them promoted from the Championship last season, he's got the supporters on side, and that's where Mike Ashley is going to lose any kind of popularity contest in the North East. But it's going to be a difficult, troubled and turbulent season for Newcastle United. Rafa Benitez and Mike Ashley, Rebecca.
Neil, lovely to have you back on the show for the new season. We'll catch up soon.
Good to see you guys. Yeah, look forward to it.
Oh, thanks there to Neil Ashton. So, Newcastle United, things don't sound very happy. Do you think Rafa Benitez realised this situation, or do you think he's been shocked?
Well, I thought it was a fantastic coup, first of all, that they managed to keep him when they got relegated. I thought that was a tremendous bit of business by Mike Ashley. I think it must have come to a surprise to Benitez that he wasn't going to have more money to spend when they got promoted as champions in the Championship. So Benitez doesn't strike me as someone who would just come out and say something for the sake of it and cause trouble. I think he's quite a consistent guy. And I'm surprised that he hasn't been backed more to keep this team in the Premier League.
I thought he said he was going to give them everything that they got through player sales and through the promotion and the money that came with it. And we haven't seen anything yet. Nothing has come to the football club that's going to get the pulses racing, those on Tyneside. You look at the front players. Dwight Gayle was excellent last year, got 23 goals. But you got Mitrovic, you got Ayoze Pires. Players that were here 2 years ago that didn't do the business. So that has to be the concern.
OK, the two really new boys, of course, Brighton and Huddersfield. Let's talk Brighton and Hove Albion, first of all. What do you need to know about them? Well, established way back in 1901, it's their first ever season in the Premier League. They've not been in the top flight since 1982-83. We know a bit about their manager. He was a Premier League manager with Newcastle and Norwich City. Glenn Murray, top scorer for them last season with 23 league goals, and they finished as runners-up in the Championship last season. It's a good story. They almost went out of business not too many years ago. Now they're in the Premier League.
It's fantastic. And I think they're a slow and steady club. They've been building for many years. They've worked really closely with the community. The stadium is fantastic. They've built that. And they've got a process-driven programme that means by getting into the Premier League, they've been close before, by getting in there, one, I think they've got quite a good chance of staying up. You're not so sure.
No, I'm not so sure.
But two, I think if they do go down, they're prepared for that as well. So they're not going to be one of these clubs that suddenly throws a load of money at something and then lives to regret it.
Like all teams promoted, Rebecca, they'll have the euphoria from promotion. And I can speak from personal experience, that really, really helps in the first few games. They need to get off to a good start. Pascal Gross, player that played in the Bundesliga last year, or player as a number 10, a playmaking guy that can assist and score, he's going to be critical for them.
Overtime once again. Huddersfield Town, the final team to talk about. Another new boy, their first season as well in the Premier League. They've not been in the top flight of English football since the early 70s. They finished fifth in the Championship last season, came up through the playoffs. Their head coach, German-American David Wagner, appointed in 2015. And Robbie, you rate this guy, don't you?
I do. I'm kind of excited when you listen to him speak. I think he's got that kind of energy about him. And what I would say is don't underestimate the guy that can get a minnow tiny club promoted into the Premier League, because we've seen it with Eddie Howe, with Bournemouth. We're thinking, well, there's no chance. But clever managers can do great things. And I think, you know, it's going to be really hard for them, but they've got a chance with this guy in charge.
I think it is going to be hard because they won only 3 of their last 10 games in the Championship. They finished the season with -2
got a lot of new
goal
players.
Difference. They have. But I just think that the amount of quality that they're going to need in order to survive, I think they're going to be one of the teams that maybe does find it difficult this season.
OK, gentlemen, it's been wonderful. Great season preview. Thank you very much indeed. We hope you enjoy it. Bye for now.